on the other side of this test is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
All right, today we're going to continue our series, Destiny, a series we started a few weeks ago. Now, last week we took a break because we let the women come and speak to us. Did you enjoy all the ladies speaking last week? Didn't they do a great job? Yeah, all the staff did a great job. How many think the guys ought to do that on Father's Day? You think the guys should do that? All right, we got all three of you. Okay, guys, we're in trouble. We got some big shoes to fill there. Those ladies did an awesome job. Now, 2 weeks ago I talked about in Destiny, talked about stripping aside the weight, laying aside the weight so that we can run the race, right? Remember that? How we've been, many times people are passing us up. We feel like, why is everybody else passing us? Could it be that we're carrying too much weight that we're never meant to carry? And so we got to lay aside that weight so that we can run the race with endurance that God has for us. Now, today, as we talk about destiny, we're going to get back up and kick off some more of that thought. You know, we all go through adversity, don't we? We all go through adversity, and we all have seasons of challenge, whether it's a setback, whether it's a hurt that happened to you, whether you made a mistake, whether something happened out of your control, whatever it is, we all go through seasons of challenge. And the question isn't whether or not we do, we all do. The big question is how will you respond? That's the question. That's the big question today. How do you respond when you go through adversity? How do you respond? Because that's really going to define you. The mistake, the challenge, it's not going to define you. What defines you is how do you handle that? How do you respond to that? How do you change out of that? And today, I believe it makes or breaks us. So let's talk about this thing and changing in Romans 12:2, familiar scripture to us. Says we don't copy the behaviors of customs and the customs of this world, but let God. Turn to your neighbor and say, let God. Come on, we got to get this today. Let God transform you, not you transform you. See, that's been a problem. Some of you have been trying to transform yourself. I'm all about self-help books. There's a lot of great books out there, how to improve yourself, how to change yourself. Those are all some good. But when it comes to transformation of your spirit and your mind, that happens through a transplant when you allow God to change you. Some of you have been trying to change yourself and wondering why you ain't getting nowhere, wondering why I'm not having any progress. Could it be you haven't let God? Sometimes you just got to let go and let God, amen? Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you. Not what God's will is for the person sitting next to you, but how do you learn my destiny? How do I learn what God's destiny is for my life? How do I learn what God's will is for my life when I allow God to transform the way I think? Then I will discover and learn God's perfect will for me. Are you following me here today? This is how we enter into this word destiny. This is how we discover it. It's when I let God transform the way I think. You see, you can have all this way of thinking. See, change your way of thinking, you'll learn your destiny. Change your way of thinking, you will learn your destiny. Bible knowledge is great. But how many know Bible knowledge alone doesn't transform you? I mean, listen, if Bible knowledge alone would transform us, we would be some of the best transformers in the world right here. Amen? Come on, Autobots. Anybody here today? We would be the best transformers in the world today because we're all about knowledge. You sit through hundreds and hundreds of sermons. Some of them good. Maybe some of them not so good, but if you came to hear, a lot of them are good. For me, Pastor Justin, Pastor TJ, guest speakers, you listen to iCast and you listen to podcasts throughout the week. You listen to Ferdic, Crochelle. You listen to different people all week long. You're feeding yourself. So we're getting all kinds of knowledge. So the knowledge isn't what brings the transformation. It's the application of that knowledge that brings the transformation. See, transforming my mind comes when I apply the knowledge. Let me put it to you another way. I'm really good about learning good nutrition. Like, I have studied it. I've bought books. I've read about it.
I've hired trainers. I know about exercise. I know about different muscle groups, and I've learned how to exercise efficiently, and I've learned all these things, and I'm really good. I got all this knowledge, and when I apply it, the weight drops off me. I feel better. I have more energy. I'm feeling good. And when I don't, I put on the weight. I feel sluggish. Anybody understand that? So I have the, when I'm putting on the weight and I'm feeling sluggish, I've got all the knowledge there, but it doesn't do me any good until I what? Apply it to my life. You see, many of us, we've been coming in getting knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, but where we're not letting it transform our mind is saying, God, how do I apply it that lets you transform the way I think? I've got to change the way I think. You know, it's kind of like King Saul. King Saul, the children of Israel, remember when they were under attack by the Philistines and they met them out there and Goliath's out there screaming at them and they're all hiding out? They're all out there dressed to fight. They've all been equipped to fight. They've got the armor to fight. They got the weapons to fight. They've got the hillside to fight. I mean, they got the numbers to fight, but they're not fighting. Why? Because no one in that whole camp would address the giant in the room. The giant wasn't Goliath. The giant was fear. In their mind, they were afraid. In their mind, they had fear, and they were letting fear control them, and nobody wanted to step up and address the real issue and say, why are we afraid? So God raises up a shepherd boy on the backside of the desert to come take some crackers and cheese to his brothers. He walks in with a different mindset and says, what are you guys doing over here hiding? And he looks at him, and he has a different way of thinking and says, yeah, that giant is big, but my God is bigger. See, all it was a different mindset, a different way of thinking. They were equipped with the same knowledge. Those guys in the army, you think David was the only brother that knew his God was big enough? No, Jesse had taught all of his sons that same knowledge. Jesse had taught all the brothers. It was something to pass down to generation after generation. Our God is the God who delivers. He took us out of Pharaoh's hand. He took us across the Red Sea. I mean, God had delivered. He took down the walls of Jericho. They heard the stories. But somehow, no one wanted to address the thinking of fear. And God had to raise up somebody with a different mindset to come in and set them free. You see, this is the way in our life we got to address and we got to change the way we think. Look what Ephesians 4 says. Ephesians 4:22. It says, throw off. Let's say it together. Say, throw off. This is a good word here. We got to listen to this word. This is really important. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. It's corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. See, it's changing the way. Renew what? Changing the way I think. It's even changing my attitude. I talked about attitude a few weeks ago. It changes the way I think. It changes my attitude. Then it says what? Put on. So let's say it together. Throw off. Put on. Throw off. Put on. Put on what? The new nature. Created to be like God. True righteousness and holy. We've got to throw it off, let God renew our minds and put it on. See, but the problem is this. We want to keep putting on first without taking off. If you went home today and you left your church clothes on, and tomorrow when you got ready to go to work or school, what would you do? You put on another pair of clothes over top of that? Went to work, kind of warm today. Next day, you didn't take anything off, you just put on another layer of clothes. By the time you came back next week, you came walking in like this, can't even unbutton the shirt, because you got all these layers of clothes on. It was like you were expecting to get a spanking from your mom and dad when you was a kid, and you put on 10 pair of underwear, can't even walk in there. Not that I ever did it, but I heard about kids who did that. And so, and you know, we look silly doing that, but that's the way some of us look spiritually. We come in and we're trying to put on things and it's not quite fitting. We're trying to put on this new thing. Pastor Gene, you taught this and I'm trying to put it on, but it's not quite fitting the way it should. That's because we haven't taken time to put off, throw off before you put on. I've got to put off my old way of thinking. I got to surrender that to the Holy Spirit. I got to take off my old sinful habits. I got to lay aside some things that have been dominating my thoughts, dominating my actions, and say, you know what? I got to let go of those things, take those things off, so I can put on a new way of thinking. I've got to be transformed. I got to transform my mind. I got to transform my spirit. So I take off and I put on. What do you mean? I'm taking off. I'm taking off spirits of fear. I'm taking off spirits of depression. I'm taking off the past mistakes. I'm taking off shame. I'm taking off guilt. I'm taking off this and that. I'm taking off that hurt. I'm taking off that abuse. I'm taking it off. Why? Because I'm going to put on God's love. I'm going to put on God's grace. I'm going to put on God's righteousness. I'm going to put on God's grace and mercy. I'm going to put on what? A garment of praise. He says, for the spirit of heaviness is weighing you down. So take it off and put on what God's got for you. Take it off, then put it on. See, we should kind of put it on without ever taking anything off. It's going to change. If we're going to change the way we think, we got to put it off. So tell your neighbor, say, I got to put it off. Put it off so I can put it on. Remember, that's so key today. We keep trying to pile things on. You know, quitting is a habit. Isn't that so true? Quitting's a habit. But so is persistence. Quitting's a habit, but so is persistence. Parents, don't let your kids quit. Don't let your kids quit. You know, we're raising up generations of kids that believe they can quit anything. And I'm all for it. I don't think you should make your kids do things they don't necessarily want to do. But if they start something, let them finish it before they get done. I always had a rule. You don't have to play next year, but if you start the season, we sign you up and you start practicing, you're going to finish it out. And if you don't want to play next year, that's up to you. If you start lessons, then we pay for 3 months. You're going to finish out the 3 months, and then you can decide if you want to keep going or not. But I pay for 3 months. We're going to finish it, right? I don't feel like going, no, you signed up for school. You're going to finish school. I don't get anything. Now, yes, you are. You're going to get something out of it right now. I'm telling you right now. You're going to school. We don't let them stop. And we encourage them. Why? Because the habits they're learning as a child affects them as they get older. I never met an adult who all of a sudden, I think I'm just going to quit. I think I'll just quit my job. I think I'll just quit my marriage. I think I'll just quit this, quit that. That habit didn't just develop when they were adults. That was a habit that was developed at a young age. And so we have to teach our kids perseverance, walking it out, being consistent. You know, we got to teach them what it means, that this habit of being persistent, not quitting. You know, we got to put off the things that stinks in our life, don't we? Talking about putting off. We got to put off things that stink in our life. What would happen today if you, what happens when you get done with your trash for the week? What happens? Who picks it up? The trash man. Trash truck comes around. Trash company picks it up. They dump it in their big truck, and they take it where, and they do what with it? They either bury it or they burn it, right? They either bury it or they burn it. What would happen if you canceled your trash service for a whole year? And outside your house, all your trash was just piling up. Well, you think you had some angry neighbors? Why? Because your house would stink. Your yard would stink. Your neighborhood would stink. You see, some of us need to learn the principle that we use every week by going out, getting rid of the trash, letting it be buried and burned. Some of you got trash in your life, you got things in your life, and you just keep piling it on, instead of taking time to take it off. Let the Holy Spirit, let the power of the Holy Spirit burn that thing in your life. Let God bury that thing and say, God, I'm taking this off so that I can look different, that I can transform the way I think. Some of you are like, I never get invited to do anything. No one ever invites me to go with them. No one invites me to participate. No one invites me. That's because you stink. Your attitude stinks. You're carrying around a bunch of junk in your life. So nobody wants to be around that. Get rid of that trash. Take it off. Change the way you think. Change the way you perceive. God, change my attitude. Change my habits. Change the way I think. Let that thing be burned. Let it be buried. It be persistent. Don't give up when you have trash coming. Well, yeah, I might as well just keep it up. No. You call someone in. Hey, we got to get rid. We got to have an intervention. I've been doing this hoarding thing way too long. Some of you could be on TV right now if we were to open up your garage. You know what I'm talking about. You've been hoarding things. I ain't going to talk about. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. We got to get rid of things. Look at this about persistence. One person. One person with commitment can change. One person with commitment, persistence, and endurance can accomplish more than 1,000 people who are just interested. You know, everybody I talk to, oh, they're interested. Hey, I want to change. Hey, I want to make a change. Hey, I want to be in ministry. Hey, I want to help out. Hey, I want to see this accomplished. Everybody's interested. But give me somebody who's committed. Give me somebody who walks through the fire. Give me somebody who walks through the tough season and doesn't give up. Give me somebody who won't quit when times get tough. And I tell you, that person is going to bring change. That person is going to see the perseverance. It takes tenacity. It takes perseverance. I've got to get there. I've got to press on. I've got to take what God's wanting me to do. I don't give up. I'm transforming. I'm taking off, putting something new in. You ever study bamboo plants? Anybody ever study bamboo plants in here? It's an amazing plant because what happens here is this. Bamboo is, you plant it, and it's really small for the first 4 to 5 years of its life. I mean, the first 4 to 5 years of its life, it's right there about knee-high. It doesn't get any bigger. I mean, year after year, not very much growth is happening. And then it goes through a period of about 60 days. In 60 days, that bamboo goes from knee-high. It can grow as much as 4 feet in one day. And within a period of 30 to 60 days, it can grow as high as 50, 60 feet. And so it's like amazing. But the question I have for you is this. Does a bamboo grow to be 50 feet tall in 30 days? Does it grow to be 50 feet? No. How long does it take it? 5 years in 30 days, right? Took it 5 years in 30 days. But see, it's kind of the way it is in our life is that we start doing the right thing, we start transforming our mind, and we don't give up. And people look around you, and you think, but no one's noticing I'm doing the right thing. No one's noticing I'm not quitting. Nobody's noticing I'm letting God transform my mind. But what's happening is God is growing your root system underneath the ground. And not everybody's going to see it. That's okay. It's all right. Because you ain't growing for them anyway. You're growing for you and God. And when God puts his hand and says, all right, it's time for you. You've been growing underneath the surface where nobody can see. Now it's time for you to shoot up there. It's time for you to grow and be visible. God can bring you up in a matter of 30, 60 days. And people look at you and go, wow, how did you mature so fast? How did you grow so fast? It didn't happen. It didn't happen in 30 days. It's been going on for 5 years. You just didn't see it to the past 30 days. I've had times in my life, I remember several years ago, I was going through a season transforming my mind, transforming my spirit, laying aside my old flesh, laying aside my old habits, and God was transforming me. And then I went through a time, it was a real challenge in our life, and people came to me like, boy, you've really grown these past 2 weeks. Now, in my spirit, I wanted to slap them, I ain't going to lie, because I was thinking, I ain't growing in the last 2 weeks, I've been growing the last 5 years. You just didn't see it until the heat came on. You just didn't see it until someone turned up the heat in the kitchen. But now you're seeing what God's been doing in me for the last 5 years. You just didn't notice it. Don't grow weary in doing the right thing. Don't grow weary in saying, God, you're transforming. I'm putting off, I'm putting on. I'm putting off, I'm putting on. Because why? Because it leads you to your destiny. Then you discover God's will for your life. It's putting off, putting on. Putting off, putting on. Daniel 5:12. I love this scripture about Daniel. It says, this man Daniel had a what? Excellent spirit. Everybody say, excellent! He had an excellent spirit. Excellent, dude. He had an excellent spirit. Man, I love this about Daniel. Because you think about Daniel. Daniel, remember now, Daniel was a minority captured from Judah, taken to Babylon as a prisoner. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar went to Judah, took the brightest and the young men from there, captured them, brought them in captivity into Babylon, was raising them up there. And they were there for a long time. And so Daniel was away from his home. He was a minority. He didn't have a lot. I mean, he was working as a slave. But yet, what did he say about him? He had an excellent spirit. We can find the same testimony about Joseph's life. Joseph was taken from his brothers, put in the pit, sold into slavery. gone to a different land, working in Potiphar's house as a slave, lied about from Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison, tortured, beaten, in prison, forgot about, lied about. But what happened? Hey, king, I need somebody who, there's a man down there with an excellent spirit. There's a man, he's got a different spirit. You see, I've come to notice something. This word excellent spirit really jumped out to me this week. I've been meditating on it and praying about it because I said, God, I want to have an excellent spirit. That's what I want. And if I could teach my kids anything, God, I want to teach my children how to have an excellent spirit. I want that to be something about it because excellent spirit has nothing to do with what kind of house you have, what kind of car you drive, or what kind of money's in the bank. I mean, have you ever walked into a business that was just starting up? Maybe it was a new restaurant. And you walked into that business, and they just don't have a lot of money to get started in, but they're doing their best. And, you know, the decorations aren't that great. They've gotten some used furniture from somewhere. But, man, you walk in, and they give you the biggest smile. They give you the best service. And they get out of the way to be friendly. And you walk in, and you go, boy, they've got an excellent spirit in that place. They're going to succeed because they got an excellent spirit. Because why? Because it has nothing to do with what decorations on the wall. It has nothing to do with a fancy menu. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the spirit that's on them. That's why I love Chick-fil-A. Anybody here love Chick-fil-A? I love Chick-fil-A. Oh, man, I love Chick-fil-A. And not because the chicken is good and I'm trying to save the cows. But I love Chick-fil-A because when you pull in, the line's out to the street and you think it could be all day. And they have you in and out. Within 7 or 8 minutes, you're through the whole thing. They got 3 lanes to drive through working. And people take your card. They go pay. The guy brings you back. He opens me. Thank you. And God bless you. Have a great day. I mean, you're in a bow tie. It's 100 degrees outside. And you're running back and forth from the register outside to my car. I mean, they are why? Because they have a spirit of excellence in that place. I think that's why God's blessing. There's just a spirit of excellence all over that place. From the time you pull into the parking lot to the time you leave, there's a spirit of excellence upon that place. It's instilled in them. I said, God, I want to instill that in my children. I want my children to know. That's what I want, God. That's it. That word jumped off to me. God, I want a spirit of excellence. And it's not nothing about making straight A's. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just something about your spirit. You have an excellent spirit where you give your all for God and you're gonna smile. I saw a worker the other day. I go through there and I was in the line at a store, another whole different store in line, and she came up and she goes, hey, are you coming to Chick-fil-A today? We'll have you ready for you. And she's just smiling. I thought she's off the clock. Is she still using the spirit of excellence? I mean, everywhere. This just wasn't fake. She was just smiling like she was working the drive-thru window. We can't wait to see you this afternoon. You coming by? Yeah, she was all excited. I didn't even recognize her. She recognized me. You know, it was just like a spirit of excellence. All about it. I want to be about that. I want people to say, that person's got an excellent spirit. They respond in an excellent way. No matter what comes their way, they respond in an excellent way. I want it to be my motto. I want my kids to have it. I love what Philippians 3:16 says. But we must hold on to the progress. Hold on to the progress. See, we're expected to grow. Hold on to the progress. Make progress. You should be growing. I mean, it's all through Scripture. Bring up the next Scripture. It's all through there. It's all found. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 3. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let's go on instead to become mature in our understanding. Everybody say mature. He wants us to grow up, to mature in our understanding. Change the way you think. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamentals. Look at verse 3 says, and so, God willing, we will move forward to what? So he says that he wants us to mature in the way we think, and he wants us to move forward in our understanding. Are you seeing this today? Is it jumping out at you? That God wants to change the way we think about him, the way we think about our problems, the way we think about adversity, what we think about each other. God wants to change that. I'm just stuck because you're thinking the same way. But when you begin to apply it by taking off, God, I'm going to take off the fear. I'm going to take off some of the old way of thinking. And God, I'm going to put on the way you think. God, I want to put on what you say about me. I'm going to put on about what your spirit wants me to do. God, change me. Let God changing my mind. I can tell you, that's my testimony today. I wouldn't be here if God hadn't changed me. But I had to submit my mind to the Holy Spirit. I used to be very quick-tempered. I used to have a short fuse, and I still sometimes battle that. But God has changed me. He's transformed me. He's changed my ability to do different things. He's changed me. How did that happen? I just laid it aside and said, God, I want to be the man you want me to be. God, I want you to change my mind. I want you to change the way I think. I want to have faith in areas I have fear in now. I want that to be dropped. And I let God take me there. Look at verse 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, look what it says here. Let's go to 2 Peter first here. Rather, you must what? Grow. Everybody say grow. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll bring the next one up. Philippians 1:25. Knowing this, I am convinced that we will remain alive so we continue to what? Help all. Help all of us grow. He wants us all to grow. He wants us all to grow. Bring up the next one. He wants us all to grow. We are glad to seem what? 2 Corinthians 13:9. We are glad to seem weak if it helps you show that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. Are you understanding the message of the New Testament? He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow. Changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Putting off, putting on. Changing the way you think about things. Taking off, putting back on. This is the process. This is the process. And if you let yourself, if you let society change the way you think, you're in trouble. I got to let God change the way I think. Never stop growing. Never stop maturing. Never stop growing. Never stop maturing. Never stop growing. Never stop maturing. I mean, you have teenagers, you know this. Kids, you expect them to grow, don't you? And you kind of laugh when they make juvenile mistakes and you kind of laugh things off when things happen as teenagers. But when they're 40 years old, they're still thinking like a teenager. Something's wrong, right? Things, we're like, that person's got some problems. And I wonder how many of us, God's looking at us like, they've been acting the same way for several generations here. They haven't matured. They haven't grown. They're still thinking the same way. They're still self-centered. They're not kingdom-minded, but they've been a Christian for 20 years. They've been a Christian for 30 years, and they still are self-centered-minded, and they're not kingdom-minded. See, mature people mature in the kingdom growth. God, I want to think the way you think. I want to see the way you see. I want to live the way you want for my life. And it's a process. Taking off, putting on. Taking off, putting on. You know, I used to be really mature. I used to be really, really mature until I had teenagers. And I can tell you, I used to be really mature until I had teenagers, and they have made me lose my mind. Any parents of teenagers understand what I'm talking about? I thought I was mature until I had teenagers. And then I'm like, hey, you know, I come, Don, you want to come talk to me? I'm talking to Don. Hey, God bless you. You know, I can pray for you. Yeah, buddy, hang in there. We'll be all right. Encouraging. I get home, my teenagers, I'm like, ah! I blow up, lose my cool, go on. And I realize, you know what? You're not very mature, Gene. It's exposed me to see that I'm not near as mature as I thought I was, Darren. My kids used to say, Dad, you're so not cool. I'm like, yes, I am. I was really cool until I had you. You messed me up. I was really cool until you messed me up. You know what I'm talking about here. See, it exposes me to areas of immaturity in my life. I thought I had patience until I had teenagers. I thought I was long-suffering. So I have to go to them, probably not as often as I should, but I'm learning. I'm trying my best to say, you know what? Your dad hasn't always handled things the best way. I'm sorry. I'm trying to grow up. I'm trying to mature in this area. I've got to do better. I've got to do better. You see, none of us here are at full maturity. Are you hearing me? I don't care how old you are. None of us here are at full maturity. We should be all constantly growing through seasons of life, maturing. And how do we do that? Putting off, and putting on. I haven't grown. I haven't matured in a long time, Pastor. I've been stuck. Well, could it be that you just haven't laid aside yet? I haven't took some things off. And then when you take things off, now I can put on the things of God. See, I got to empty myself out so that God can put more of Him inside of me. Constantly denying myself. That's what Scripture says, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him. It's a constant denying of myself. Constantly. Why? Because God wants me to mature. He wants me to grow. I'm going to ask magicians to come this morning. Man, just tell you, as we learn to transform our minds and let the Holy Spirit change us, man, then we discover our destiny, new season. What's the next season for me, God? What do you got for me when I mature? How many today say, Pastor, you were preaching right to me today. Anybody here want to be on? Okay, lots of hands. I can tell you what, the altars were flooded the first service, so you're not alone, okay? I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet this morning. As you stand today, if you're here and say, Pastor, I'm ready to lay aside. I gotta put some things aside so I can put some things on. Today you're talking to me, and I'm ready to lay some things aside so I can put on a new season. I can put on a different way of thinking. In the spirit realm, I just want to step out and say, Pastor, I want to do that today. If you just step out to the front, join me around the front today. We want to pray with you as we close out today. Say, I'm laying aside some things. I'm putting off some things. I want to put on some things of God. I want to grow. I want to change the way I'm thinking. Come on in, guys. Here you go. Make room around the front for those that are coming in behind you. Thank you. Scoot into the left over here, guys. A little bit there. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to close with a song, and I want you just to say, God, I'm laying aside the weights. I'm taking some things off, laying some things aside, and I'm going to put on. Laying aside, I'm putting on the things of God in my life. I'm going to invite some of the staff. They're going to help me and some of the leaders. We're going to put hands on you. We just want to pray for you today. Put a hand on your shoulder. Just speak a blessing over you as you're laying things down today. So just go after God this morning. Say, God, I'm letting it go. Come on, raise your hand. Say, God, I'm letting it go. God, I'm letting it go today. Pursuing you. Letting go of the things. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So let it echo from this city to the nations, the sound of praise. So let the windows of the heaven.
Call out new seasons, Lord, every person in this house this morning. God, I call out the Father, we're laying down, Lord, we're taking off so that we can put on the new things, God, you have for us today. God, we're not going to leave here carrying this old baggage. We're not going to leave here carrying these old way of thinking. But God, transform our hearts and our minds. Transform us, God, into the people you're calling us to be. We lay aside, Lord, the things we carry. We say, Holy Spirit, come transform us. Transform us, God. God, and I pray for the person who's been walking faithful this prayer this morning. They've been doing it for faithful for 3, 4, 5 years. They've been walking this thing out faithful. God, I just call out of them a new season of growth. God, I call out of them a new harvest. God, I pray to Father right now, the things that have been taking place in the roots will now begin to produce and manifest in crops of harvest, God. Fruits of harvest, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I call out a new season. I call out a new season, Father, in Jesus' name. A new season, guys. We're laying down and putting on. Taking off, putting off, and now putting on. Change us. Transform us by the renewing of our mind.
in Jesus' name. If you receive that word, can you put your hands together one more time? God of praise. Come on. Did you guys receive that today? Man, so good. Man, how about you in the back row? You may receive it back in the back row there today? All right, making sure you're still there. Hey, we love you. Don't pick it up. Lay it off. Don't pick it up. Say, God, change the way I think. Change the way I react. Make it the prayer of your heart. And pray, God, give me an excellent spirit. When you get in tomorrow, your employers will look at you this week and say, man, you've had an excellent spirit all week. Your wife should look at you guys and say, boy, you had an excellent attitude all week. What's wrong with you? Change, right? I love you. You guys have a great, great week. God bless you.